With many cities across the United States grappling with large public demonstrations and protests after last week's murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis, some domestic and international journalists are finding themselves caught in a crossfire of hostility and intimidation with law enforcement officers and protesters. This has resulted in unprovoked heavy-handed altercations against news crews, photographers and reporters from Channel 7, Channel 9, CNN and Vice. These incidents have been vicariously condemned by the US non-profit organisation, the Committee to Protect Journalists. But could there be a more troubling reason for journalists to feel scared about being targeted or attacked while doing their job? Peter Grester is the UNESCO Chair in Journalism and Communications at the University of Queensland and is also the founding director and spokesperson for the Alliance for Journalists' Freedom. He voiced his concerns with The Wire's Jared McLaughlin.
To my mind, it doesn't really seem as though journalists are just being caught in the crossfire. It seems as though journalists are actually being singled out or targeted. I'm not suggesting there's any kind of coherent policy, but it does seem as though the political environment has given a kind of nod and a wink to the police to attack the press for monitoring what's been going on there. Over the last 4 or 5 days, since the protest really took off, we've seen more than 200 journalists who've been attacked in all sorts of ways. And most of the incidents, the footage that we've seen, either from the journalist cameras themselves or from bystanders, suggests that the journalists have been clearly identified. They've been either wearing press badges, behaving in ways that makes it clear that they're observers rather than participants. And yet they appear to have been either directly assaulted or fired at or had pepper spray sprayed at them or arrested. And that's deeply troubling. It suggests that the police are acting with a degree of impunity when it comes to attacking the press.
Do you find that is quite troubling that journalists have been singled out?
Let me start by saying that clearly not all police are taking this approach. I'm not accusing police across the board of being involved with assaults or being unnecessarily aggressive towards journalists. Well, it seems that there's been a hostile relationship between the press and the police. What the journalists are there to do is to monitor the behaviour of public institutions. And it can be very confronting for people who are working with those institutions when they feel as though they are being monitored, particularly if they're doing things that they might feel are justifiable but might appear to be heavy-handed. But the fact is that even if it is uncomfortable, the journalists are there for a reason, and that is to keep watch over those institutions. They're there to help make sure that the public knows what those institutions are doing in its name, because that's what the government is supposed to be doing, operating on behalf of the public that it serves. And so the journalists have a duty and a responsibility and a right to be there. As long as they're not directly interfering or obstructing the police, as long as they're not breaking the law, then the police need to keep their hands off, even if it is uncomfortable.
Do journalists have a reason to feel scared or even afraid?
Around the world, the numbers of journalists who are in prison at the moment are close to record highs. And if you look at the reasons most of those journalists are in prison, it's because of what the CPJ, the Committee to Protect Journalists, broadly describes as anti-state charges. In other words, charges such as treason, sedition, terrorism, and so on. And that suggests that the authorities have come to regard the principal crimes that journalists allegedly commit are crimes against the state. That is not because I think journalists have been deliberately undermining, it's that governments increasingly have come to see journalists and fair and legitimate journalism as a threat to their own rule, to their own power.
Peter Grester, the UNESCO's Chair in Journalism and Communications at the University of Queensland and founding director and spokesperson for the Alliance for Journalists' Freedom, speaking there with The Wire's Jared McLaughlin. Sally Sara is an award-winning journalist for the ABC's Foreign Correspondent Program. She's reported from more than 30 countries, including Afghanistan, Iraq, Sierra Leone and Zimbabwe, and has been based in Kabul, New Delhi and Johannesburg. I asked her what it's like to be caught up in the action at events like this week's protests in the USA.
Often you're really focused on what you're doing, particularly with television. If reporters are doing a piece to camera or live cross, because you're concentrating on what you're doing, it's really easy to almost lose your peripheral vision. So they're quite vulnerable at that moment. They're not probably as aware of their surroundings as they should be. So, yeah, I've really felt for those reporters in the number of incidents that have happened, that it's very difficult, and it can really shake you while you're still trying to report on a story that's very important.
Does it surprise you that it's sometimes at the hands of police rather than passers-by or people who are involved in a protest who are actually taking these actions?
Yeah, some of that's been appalling. I mean, the incident with the Channel 7 team in Washington, D.C., if you're punching someone in the face and they've got a camera up to their face and, you know, they're clearly identified as press, that is, you know, very, very worrying. And it's not only an issue for the journalists on the ground, but their organisations and managers, they have responsibilities too to try and manage the risk. So it just makes the story so much harder to cover. It's not just about the fears or the courage or the decisions of that reporter on the ground. The organisation needs to take on board what's happening and try and strike that balance between getting the story but also being safe.
And what does that do in the psyche of a journalist when you have had an incident like this and yet need to step back out there and do your job?
Yeah, it can be really hard. I remember an incident we had in the Democratic Republic of Congo after the president had been killed, and I was a young reporter, wasn't very experienced, and I'd really misjudged the situation. I'd got separated from my fixer and made my way back to the car and had a big crowd around me. I was the only Westerner there at that stage, and our windscreen got cracked on the way out and so on. I was really in a position that I shouldn't be in. I just hadn't really picked up what was going on around me. And, you know, the story hadn't finished. We had to head out the next day to cover funeral and other things. So, yeah, it does make you scared. But I think it's important too, for every bad incident, there's lots of good that comes your way. And that incident in the Congo, I remember there was a young bloke, a university student, who was standing near the car with me, and he spoke English. And I said to him quietly, "Do you speak English?" He said, "Yes." And I said, "Am I in a bit of trouble here?" And he said, "Yes, you are." And I said, "What do I do?" And he said, "You need to just slowly get into the car and pretend that you're not in a hurry, but you really must hurry," he said. So there are great people in the crowd that will look after you and try and take care of you, because generally people want the story to get out. Those incidents don't show up on camera as much, but there are many people, particularly in these demonstrations, who feel very strongly about transparency and showing what's happening. So they will keep a bit of an eye on reporters in the field and make sure that they're safe.
Sally Sara, journalist for the ABC's Foreign Correspondent Program.